over there. They're not your friends. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth. Take the running backs to the stands. Run up in the stands and slap their mama.
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world, it's the T.C. Martin Show.
It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20, 10.
He's got it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
The doctor is now in.
It is a thunderous Thursday. How you doing? T.C. Martin in the house right here from the CG Technology Studio here. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. We are here. College basketball on the docket today. Steve Lapis joins us, the former Villanova coach, UMass coach, and of course, does a fantastic job with CBS Sports. We will talk to him today about the Mountain West, college basketball in general. Look forward to having the coach on. And also, our resident physician, our orthopedic surgeon, coming in the house today, Dr. Joseph Yu, the UNLV team doctor, and also his shop over there at Total Sports Medicine. So, good stuff today on the program. You can join us as well, too, 702-876-1340, the phone number. Follow us on Twitter at TCMartin21. And, of course, always go on the website, check out the past broadcasts, the photo gallery, the blogs, the latest articles, all there at TCMartinShow.com. Chris Chapman, present once again. I don't know, you're going to be, I'm pointing the ire, not the eerie, the ire. You have my ire today. You're giving me this look, but you give me these headphones today, okay? So my battery goes dead at the end of yesterday's show. I'm kicking myself because I didn't put a new battery in, so I rely on you to give me some headphones. You give me some broken headphones here. Actually, you gave me some good headphones, and then you broke them.
Yeah, that's not quite what happened. You're like the Gene Steratore of headphones this week. For 3 days, you've been coming in here, I got no battery in my headphones. I got no battery in my headphones. Pull out the old index card.
There it is. Hold on.
Yep, there it is. Yep, index card. Yep. I think it's good.
Hey, it's a first down.
It is a first down, yes, despite the fact that it was a terrible spot to begin with. But, yeah, you are the Gene Steratore of headphones this week because you continue to forget them and you bust out the index card.
Do I have a smirk on my face, though, before I, signal first down? Do I,
well,
index card said first down.
Yeah,
there's no batteries in the headphone.
I just needed to verify that there were no batteries in the headphones. You got to use the index card.
Are these community headphones? Because I'm OCD type of guy.
You know who uses those headphones?
Don't say.
Brian Feldman. bust out the Clorox wipes. Yeah. I think I'm trying to think who else has used those in the past. I think the guys who do
just stop there. I don't want to know
the Saturday night shows.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
You're killing me, man.
You and Brian Feldman now have something in common.
You're killing me. Yeah, probably have a fungus growing out of my ear now. Probably won't show up for work tomorrow. I'll be deathly ill.
So you basically be like the Grinch.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the last work day before Christmas.
The Grinch. You mentioned the Grinch again. You know, some people out there actually, they heard me the other day and they think that I'm a Grinch. Other people say, no, you're right on. And I really would like to get listeners' thoughts on my moratorium for Christmas music since we brought that up the other day and we didn't get a chance to take calls. I'd love to get people's thoughts on 876-1340. When is the deadline? Deadline is probably the wrong word. When is it okay to play Christmas music? And I'm not talking about you individually. I'm talking about in public places like restaurants, like grocery stores, any place, any public place. When is it okay? I said the week before Christmas. Actually, I'd like to start the 21st.
You're way off base.
But these places that play it the day after Thanksgiving, or as you know, there's even radio stations that start playing it in the beginning or middle of November. And that's...
Well, that violates it to
that
me.
That violates it.
Yeah.
It does. And to me, it violates it any point in time prior to December the 18th.
Well, here's the rule. You cannot play holiday music for any holiday. Like, imagine if you were playing Fourth of July songs before Memorial Day. Doesn't make sense, right? I mean,
good comparison.
You can't play Halloween songs before you play your Christopher Columbus Day songs, although I don't think we have any Christopher Columbus Day songs anymore. That seems to be going away. But, you know, you don't play your birthday, happy birthday to you, on any day other than your birthday. I can't play happy birthday to me on your birthday because it's not happy birthday to me. It's happy birthday to you. So this holiday hogging that goes on.
Holiday hogging, I like it.
Look, I love my Christmas songs. In fact, I'll sing Bing Crosby and I'll have the...
Not on this show, you won't. The
Gene Autry going and the Ray Conniff and the Ronettes.
The Ronettes.
What I do not have is Mariah Carey. In fact, when I'm in the car and I hear that horrible All I Want for Christmas, all I really want for Christmas is Mariah Carey to shut up and go away. But, unfortunately, every year...
Who's the Grinch now?
But that's one Christmas song. If I'm in the car and Bing Crosby, Melikaliki Maka comes on, I think Jimmy Buffett does a cover of that too, and it's really good. But
wait, that last one, you sure that wasn't an Afrika Bambaataa song?
No, it's not an Afrika Bambaataa song. I believe Melikaliki Maka. Right. It's a Hawaiian way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Mahalo, brother.
Yes, mahalo.
I did good on that one?
Yeah, you qualify, even though I don't speak Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And I don't have the Hawaiian accent. I think that qualifies.
Right,
I've been there.
So what is it? Okay. So what is it for? You're perfectly fine with starting up the Christmas music. So you go to your favorite restaurant, you go to get your burger or whatever, and you start hearing that stuff on November 29th, December the 4th.
Day after
you're
Thanksgiving
okay with it? No,
is fine.
It's too much.
No.
It's
you know why? Because when I go into the store and I have to fight and claw my way to get my son his Lego set away from the 35 other lunatics who are trying to grab that Lego set off the shelf, I need a little Frank Sinatra singing Jingle Bells to kind of prevent me from punching that other person in the face who just scratched me as they try to grab that Lego set.
But when you're looking for that Lego set on December the 3rd or the 4th,
that's okay.
The Christmas decorations aren't even up in a lot of these places yet.
Yes, are you kidding me? The stores, they go up and listen. They go up and it bothers
certain
me.
Stores, you know, I'm really pointing this at some of the restaurants, you know, going to get away and have myself a lunch, and then I've got to hear that. And then the selection of Christmas songs. There are certain ones that are fine, but like I said, you start getting the Chipmunks and some of this stuff.
David Seville and Company is fantastic.
You can't do it. You can't do it that far in advance.
Yes,
that's
yes
what I'm
you
saying.
Can.
Because here's
it
my
works.
Deal. If I want to listen to that, there are options, okay? Especially like if you got Sirius XM, you go to a designated holiday station for that. Okay, if I want to hear that, I'll go to it. Now, I get it. We get in the Christmas spirit as we get closer to Christmas. That's okay. So today, tomorrow, the next day, I expect to have it.
Yeah, but that does, that no.
But that's okay.
You can start. It's perfectly fine the day after. Look, I live in the Philippines. They start Christmas in September there. You go into the mall and they have Christmas trees up in September. And not only that, they take pride in the fact that they have the longest Christmas season in the world in the Philippines. It literally starts. How about this? Starts in September. You know when it ends?
January 15th.
Yeah, it ends in January.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep it rolling. So, and then it's funny because when I lived in Taiwan, you wouldn't even know Christmas if it hit you in the face there because, I mean, they're kind of coming around to it, but it's not really something that's celebrated in that, you know. Now, when I went to Japan, I was there during Christmas. They had a Christmas market in Osaka set up like Germany where they have, you know, the alcoholic beverages you can get and the hot chocolate and little gifts. And that was kind of cool, the cookies from Germany. But, yeah, I'm all aboard the you can start the day after Thanksgiving. But it literally has to end at midnight on Christmas Day. Once I open the presents, I eat the ham, eat mom's baked ziti and some lasagna, maybe a little antipasto. That's it. It's over. Once I sit down on the couch on Christmas night and turn the lights off on my Christmas tree, that's it.
Well, we're in agreement there because, you know, I brought that up on the Terrible Tuesday where it's got to stop.
Yeah.
December 26th, it cannot continue.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
It's over. It's done. Hang it up. It's like Manny Pacquiao's boxing career. It's over. Stop trying. Hang it up. It's over.
Stop. All right. Speaking of that.
It's like those old French movies where it just says F-I-N at the end.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's it.
Speaking of that, news came down yesterday that Floyd Mayweather could be getting in the octagon. Why can't he just stop? Why can't he just go away? And it goes back to what I've said time and time again. This guy always has to be in the news. People have to be talking about him. He wants to talk about himself. According to Dana White, he is having serious conversations with Mayweather about fighting Conor McGregor again, but this time in the octagon. And Dana White went on to say it could be more than one fight. He could be having a second career in the UFC. Now, this is something I don't want to buy it. I don't want to see it. We didn't want to see the first one. We saw what happened there. So it makes you think, do you go back and you think, okay, this was part of the negotiations. Okay, we do one here and then we do one there. Mayweather is never going to put himself in a position where he has a chance to fail. And I mean fail miserably. He's done that by handpicking his opponents for the better part of the last 10 years where he never put himself at risk in the boxing ring. You're going to put yourself at risk in an octagon if they're going to pay you tons and tons of money. And how much money can you really make? Because we've seen the UFC fighters, even on their biggest shows, UFC 100, UFC 200, these guys are not making anywhere close to what the boxers make in their championship pay-per-view events. We've seen that. So how can Dana White pay Floyd Mayweather the money that he has been making? And there's no way. I mean, I just can't see it. But
there is a way, I do think. However, I think it's very far-fetched, but that would be if Floyd becomes part owner of the UFC.
That's not happening.
Well, I that's why I said it's far-fetched. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Floyd's not going to take a $3 million payday. I mean, that's not – the guy just made $100 million
for his last fight. He's not going to take a $10 or a $20 million payday.
Yeah, and I think as much as people – you know what, though? I think it would sell because I do think – there's a lot of people who want to see Floyd get put on his ass. And I think this would be the only opportunity those people would, because he's not going to fight any guy in the boxing ring that has a chance to put him on his butt. And, you know, some people call that being smart. Some people call it being chicken. You know, maybe I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. But he's not going to put himself, like you said, in a position where he's not going to make money, and he's definitely not going to put himself in a position where he could get beat, because those are the two things that matter to Floyd: how much he's getting paid and that undefeated record. And granted, this is a completely different animal. Nobody's going to look at this and say, oh, well, he lost because it's not a boxing match. You know, he's still 50-0 in the boxing ring. But if he gets in there with McGregor and McGregor breaks his leg, people are going to be like, oh, well, it was a joke, and we knew it was a joke.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're talking about, you brought up the point about selling. Okay, I'm not talking about selling. Will it sell? Will people buy it? Absolutely, they probably would. But again, before that, it's got to be up to Mayweather to say yes and put himself in that position, which I don't see happening. Just don't see it happening.
No.
But for Dana White to come out and address this and be very, very serious about this, this tells you that there are negotiations that are going on between him and Mayweather. So, and I've never seen Dana White as a guy being a liar or trying to fabricate stuff.
No,
he's pretty upfront and honest about these type of things.
Yeah.
So, again, like I said, with Mayweather, he's got nothing else going on in his life right now. Right now, he's traveling around. He's very, very minute in his own promotion. Okay, Leonard Ellerbe is running that, Mayweather Promotions, and Mayweather will show up to the fights and everything. He'll pop in around the gym. For the most part, though, he's not really involved. You know, like I said, he's got a promoter's license. He's doing that, but he's not actively involved with these fighters and these cards. You're not seeing that. So he needs to be in the news. And here we go. He's in the news once again. Now, his next move, we've talked to Leonard Ellerbe about this, about owning a professional sports team, likely an NBA team. And that's something that Mayweather will eventually do, I believe, okay? And you know, so that's where his focus is. But to get in the octagon in a rematch against McGregor, to me, that is absurd. He's not going to put himself in that position. And I'm not sure, really, It might sell, like you said, but does anybody really want to see this? Because this is the colossal mismatch from the other way around.
Well, no.
It won't be competitive.
I think people would want to see it because there's so much hatred and disgust of Floyd that people would say, hey, you know what? He's going to get his clock cleaned in this. And that's, you know, that's the angle that, because I think people bought the boxing match because there was a little bit of curiosity. You know, there was some intrigue. This is completely different. For starters, McGregor can kick him. McGregor could take him to the ground. You know,
Floyd, he could hurt him.
Yes, yes. You know,
really.
I never thought that there was a chance that Floyd would seriously hurt Connor, just because I mean he hasn't knocked anybody out in a long time. You know, but I do think that this is the type of thing for Floyd where if he got in there, he could be seriously hurt. You know, like broken bones. Because McGregor, look, that's what he does. You know, he's not a submission specialist like, you know, some of the other guys in the UFC. But, you know, he's got the ability to really hurt Floyd and punish him.
If this comes about, can you see this?
I would buy it.
Could you see a caveat where they would make up some different type of rules here where you can't do that? I agree. But for a boxer,
because then it's not.
It's not a true MMA bout.
Exactly.
And we've seen James Toney try this. We've seen former professional football players try this.
Some wrestlers, obviously. Some wrestlers. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley did it.
And for the most part, it hasn't ended well. If you remember when James Toney tried it, he didn't last a round.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
And CM Punk, they tried to really build him up from wrestling. And, you know, I'm sure in his day, CM Punk is a pretty good fighter. But, you know, this is a different animal. You know, this isn't getting in there and throwing punches, trading jabs. I mean, there's a lot to being an MMA fighter. And, you know, I enjoy the sport. I enjoy boxing as well. I don't want to see them cross. I like them separate. I didn't like the idea of the boxing match because I knew what it was going to be. You know, and for me, I would buy this only because I'm one of those people who really like to see Mayweather basically get his butt kicked. You know, and it's no disrespect to Floyd, but you know, it's something you alluded to. He's handpicked his opponents for the last decade. You know, he never really fought a guy in the last 10 years who was, you know, a threat to beat him. I think had he fought Pacquiao when they were originally talking about it, like almost a decade ago, maybe that would have been a really good fight. They fought way too late, and it was a snooze fest. You know, it wasn't a great fight at all. So I'd be one of those people who'd be intrigued just because I want to see Floyd get his butt kicked. But as far as it being a competitive match, I just don't see it.
They're two different disciplines. The boxer's going to win a boxing match. The mixed martial artist is going to win the MMA match. Plain and simple. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. So there's no question about it. And the line that we saw with Mayweather favoring a boxing match, that's what the line would be reversed in favor of McGregor if they fought in the octagon. Plain and simple. It's ridiculous. And again, I cannot see it because I can't even believe Mayweather would even be having negotiations because he's not going to put himself in a situation where he would likely get embarrassed. Not likely, definitely would get embarrassed. There's no doubt. All right. We come back. We'll talk a little college basketball with our good friend Steve Lapis, the former basketball coach and who does a fantastic job on CBS Sports. He's actually going to be on the call with San Diego State Gonzaga tonight. We'll talk about that game, UNLV, and a whole lot more a little bit later on. Dr. Joseph Hughes in the house. We'll talk about the latest injuries. It's the T.C. Martin Show coming your way live here on Fox Sports Radio. Yes. So Chris Chapman gets his Christmas music. He gets his Run DMC here. So you kind of crossed the line a little bit. You did get the old school in there, so that's fine. And you got your Christmas music, even though the guy with the Golden Knights won't play this for you. But
no, he's going to play it Saturday. I feel it. I feel it coming Saturday night. Yeah.
There it is.
Alexander Ovechkin's going to hear a little Christmas in Hollis.
Well, I wanted to get some old school for our next guest here, because I know he's an old school music guy. He had to be blaring that stuff through some Kool & the Gang and some good stuff back in the days when he was coaching at Villanova and also UMass. We're talking about Steve Lapus, 17-year coaching career, and right now does a fantastic job on CBS Sports, and he will be on the call tonight as Gonzaga takes on San Diego State, 7 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. Coach, how's it going?
It's going great. Sitting here in San Diego, looking forward to a really good game tonight.
All right. So tell us about some of that pregame music in the locker room back in the day, Coach. You used to blast right?
Well, you know what? You're talking about back in the day, like when I was playing, when you're talking about like the Temptations and Motown and all that stuff. Now, you know, at Villanova, things have changed at that point. You know what I mean? Kids more modern. So that's a little bit out of my – I'm a little out of touch with that now.
Okay, man. We still had some decent jams going back in that time when you were in Villanova there. There's still some good beats, but I know what you're talking about. Big difference from the 60s, 70s to the 90s. I got you, man. All right, Steve, let's talk a little bit about tonight's game, because I think it's a pretty intriguing matchup. You know, these two teams played each other last year. The Zags won 69-48. They just blew out Steve Fisher's team at that point in time. Steve Fisher's now gone. He's retired. The guy who's taken over, as we well know, is longtime assistant. But here we go again. It seems like we see this with the Aztecs every time this year in the non-conference slate. We're not sure exactly what we're going to get. We see some performances from them where they underachieve. Then other times they look great. What do we expect to see from these guys tonight?
Well, you know, here's the thing about this team. They are what they usually are, which is tremendous defensive. And even though their offensive numbers will look a little better, they still struggle to score. And so I was with Brian Dutcher before at the shoot-around. I said, what is it? Is it something with the building? Because they are always great defensively if they struggle to shoot, especially from the three-point line. I mean, they're only a 30% shooting team this year, but their defense is great. So it's... And I think that they have better shooters than they've had in the past, but they got to start putting them in. Like, I had their game against Cal the other day. Devin Watson played one of the worst games of his career. I think he can shoot it. Matt Mitchell's a freshman. He can shoot it. Trey Kell can shoot it. They got Max Montana coming off the bench, who is a bona fide shooter. So they haven't shot the ball particularly well yet. I think they will get better as time goes on. They have a lot of play. They got 10 guys, a lot of balance, but they really need to start to find their stride on the offensive end, because defensively they are what they usually are.
They are. You're absolutely correct. But then we've seen times with them where the offense is so stagnant, and they've got players that if you go down to the low post can take care of business. Like you said, we've never seen the Aztecs be a really good three-point shooting team, but they're capable. But for me, I look at them, and sometimes they look disinterested. Even in the Mountain West Conference tournament last year, they looked disinterested against Nevada. I don't know if that was just – if it was them, or give maybe more credit to Nevada because they took it to them.
I think you got to give more credit to Nevada. I think Nevada and Coach Musselman are really showing what kind of program they have. I mean, that's one. They're one of the better teams, really. They had a couple of tough losses last week with Texas Tech, which is a quality loss. But nonetheless, I think that what happened with San Diego State is they play so well on defensive end. I'm going to guess, having coached kids for so many years as I did, that it's hard to separate offense and defense. It's not like football where you got time, it's separated, two different units. Here, when you're missing shots, you still got to go back and play defense. I think there is some frustration involved with kids when they're not making shots. And so I think there was a little bit of that last year. I think they were frustrated. I think this year they have a good pep in their step. No, the game against Cal was a tough one. They were up 4 points with 50 seconds to go after being down 14 points in that game. So I do think ultimately that this team is – and Malik Pope is a really good offensive player at 6'10". Trey Kell, Helmsley, Watson. I think this team offensively has better potential than some of those teams in the past. And I think they'll guard, and I think they'll get better as the season goes on.
Let's talk about Gonzaga. Final Four team last year. They lost some pieces of that, but it seems like Mark Few's teams are really starting to become one of those programs now where they reload. They're getting kids that are coming in that can play immediately, and so far so good from what we've seen this year with the Zags. Talk a little bit about them and how far can they go this year?
Well, I mean, they lost a lot. I mean, you kind of, Zach Collins last year in the Final Four might have been the best player on all four of the teams that were in the Final Four last year. He certainly was the best player in the championship game between Carolina and Gonzaga. So, you know, you lose Karnowski, a four-year starter. You lose Zach Collins to the NBA draft, two guys in the NBA draft. I mean, they lost, then they lose Williams-Goss, who was one of the best point guards in the country last year through the whole year. So, if you lose three guys like that, that's a significant hit. And I do agree with you. Mark Few is a tremendous coach. He's done an unbelievable job at Gonzaga, one of the best jobs in the country. I mean, this guy wins over 80% of his games, which is phenomenal. And, yes, they have reloaded. Have they reloaded with the level of talent they lost? Absolutely not. But they are still very good, an NCAA tournament team. Are they a Final Four team? I'm going to guess no, but you never know with Mark Few.
Steve Lapis joined us, 17-year coaching career. Probably remember him from Villanova and, of course, UMass. And now with CBS Sports Network, does a fantastic job there. Of course, we see him during the tournament and, of course, during the course of the year. He does a lot of Mountain West Conference games. Tonight, San Diego State hosting Gonzaga. Let's talk about the Rebels here. UNLV off to one of their best starts in recent years, 10-2. Give us your thoughts about the Rebels from what you've seen so far.
Man, I did their game against Arizona, and it was a tough loss, obviously, but what a great game. I think Marvin Menzies, let me say this first, is not only a tremendous basketball coach, but he's a great motivator, and he knows how to put a team together. Yeah, Brandon McCoy is, you know, I mean, I would put DeAndre Ayton and Bagley, those would be my top two big guys in the country. They're different. They're a little more versatile, but McCoy is right in that next breath because I was so, so impressed with him. He is a really true low post center. I think he's terrific. I think the kid Justin, as far as a college power forward, is tough. He's a good passer. He knows how to play. I think this team has tremendous potential. Mooring and Chris Kleinberg, two guys that were left from last year, are two really good contributors. The kid from Milwaukee, Jordan Johnson, I think is going to help and get better as the year goes on. He's had some really good games. I think he's a key guy in all this. I'm not saying he hasn't been good, but I think he needs to get a little better for this team to really reach their potential. But I think Marvin has done a tremendous job. It's an exciting team. And I'm looking forward to being in the Thomas and Mack this year and seeing a lot of those games because it's one of the best places. I tell you, when I tell people about, you know, when they play Viva Las Vegas before the game starts, it's one of the greatest things you could possibly see. So, I mean, I think that it's going to be a very, very exciting year. A lot of good players, a lot of good things happening.
Obviously here, Steve, there are people that are excited, more excited, obviously, than last year because it was just such a disaster what transpired here. So they are excited, but on the other side, they're not coming out in droves. The biggest crowd was that night that you were here at Arizona where they had 14,000 people. But as you know, way back in the day, it didn't matter who came into the Thomas and Mack. I mean, they would nearly sell the place out, you know, having 17,000 plus in there. So fans here in Las Vegas are still a little bit hesitant how excited to get about this Rebel team because, let's face it, they've only played a couple of decent opponents so far this year. And then, of course, they've just, you know, they wiped out everyone they're supposed to wipe out. So as they get ready for Mountain West Conference play, where do you see the Rebels falling in during the course of the season? And in your opinion, is it a tournament team?
Well, let me just say this. Las Vegas, there's so much to do there. And so, you know, competing for the entertainment dollar makes it an even more challenging place than a lot of places. That being said, I think people are missing out. And I think as the season goes on, people are going to see what's there and start coming. I think this team is an NCAA tournament team. I think that the margin of error is not that great because I don't think they have tremendous depth. You know, a lot of guys did play in the preseason because, you know, some of the competition wasn't as good. But now that you get in the gear up into Mountain West play, you're going to see Marvin probably shorten that bench a little bit. And I think this team potentially, no doubt in my mind, could be an NCAA tournament team. And let's say this. I think, obviously, the big ace in the hole is, and the Mountain West, I think, can be back this year to being a multiple league, a multiple bid league. Now, they've had some losses. They've had some opportunities in the pre-conference season to get some really good wins, and they came up just short, that Arizona-UNLV game being one of them. But I think when you look at this team, if you tell me, and I don't know what's going to happen in terms of the course of the season, but they get into the Mountain West tournament, they can win three games in a row in 3 days in that Thomas and Mack without question. So I think they're going to be in that large team before it gets to that point, but certainly they'll have a great opportunity when the tournament comes.
All right, Mountain West preview. We know Nevada returns a lot. Boise State has looked pretty good thus far. Give us your look on the Mountain West.
Yeah, I mean, we just really said them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nevada obviously looks like they were picked first. They look like the best team in the league right now. Boise State's had a great preseason with that terrific win, you know, at Oregon. San Diego State, you know, the little bit of a blip for them is losing that game to Cal at home. But they're still a Pac-12 team that they lost to. So, you know, I think Fresno State is going to be a dangerous team. They could really score the ball. So I think, and going to Wyoming is never going to be an easy thing. So I think the league is on its way back. There have been a couple of years where it's been a little lean, where it was a one-bid league. I think the key is if you have San Diego State and you have UNLV and you got Nevada now and Boise State and you get New Mexico back into the picture, I think this league is really, and I think Paul Weir is doing a really good job. He's got limited talent on his team, and yet they gave out. I was at their game last week against Arizona. They gave Arizona all they wanted. So I think there's a lot of positives in the league right now, a lot of good coaches in the league, and I think the league is coming back.
All right, Steve Lapis joining us. Steve, before we let you go, let's talk a little stuff nationally here. We saw Duke win by 64 last night against Evansville, but then we saw North Carolina lose on their home floor to Wofford last night. Talk a little ACC and then just a couple national teams that you think that, okay, give us a couple surprises for the better or for the worse.
Well, I mean, the ACC obviously is a tremendous league. I mean, you know, Duke, I mean, and I, you know, it really means nothing to me that they won by 60 last night. What's the difference between 60 and 20, really?
Right.
You know what I mean? When you win by 60, it's more a function of what the other team ended up doing than what you did to them. That being said, Duke is obviously a national championship contender. I think North Carolina, you know, they're playing a lot of young guys, especially up front. So they got a lot of holes right now, and they got a lot of guys that are playing that don't have the same kind of experience. Yeah, it's a shocker when Wofford beats you at home. No doubt about it. Not that Wofford's not a good program, but that's a shocker. But listen, right now, Villanova's the best team in the country. And I'm not just saying that because of my connection to Villanova, which obviously I have a strong one, but they're the best team in the country. Nobody brings it more consistently on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, every night and has a purpose and plays the same way all the time on both sides in Villanova. So I think right now, and I was talking about this with Mark Few, and he played them, and they really did a number on him. He has tremendous respect, and he made a good point. Can you sustain this from, because they've been doing this since the beginning of November, since the first game of the year. Can you sustain this for 6 months, which is basically what you have to do, or 5 months, to win a national championship? But right now, there's no doubt that Villanova is the best team in the country, and Michigan State is really good. I think once Tom Izzo shortens his bench, you know, Tom Izzo, in the beginning of the year, he's talking about how he's got five big guys up front. Well, you know, the problem, five big guys is too many. You can only play two. And nowadays, really, you should only be playing one because the way the game is being played. So they're also, though, a quality team. So I think in the end, Michigan State, Villanova, Duke, Arizona, I think those that's a good chance to be the four teams left standing.
All right. Steve, great stuff as usual. We'll enjoy you on the call tonight. San Diego State hosting Gonzaga, CBS Sports Network. We'll talk to you later, my friend. Thanks a lot. Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Same to you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There he is. Steve Lapis. Love having him on the show, breaking it down for you. And again, tonight, Gonzaga taking on San Diego State. When we come back, Dr. Joseph Hughes in the house. We'll talk a little UNLV from his perspective. We'll take you over the injuries in both the NBA and the NFL as well, too. So don't you dare go anywhere. It's the T.C. Martin Show right here on Fox. What I'm talking about. See, that's some music right there, my friend. Now, sure, we could throw in a little Christmas music here and there, but come on now. Now, don't give me this look, Chapman, because you're sitting there, you're usually jamming your bob in the head when we play this, you know, last month, but now because it's December 21st, you got an issue with it?
No, no, I have a limited opportunity to annoy you with Christmas music, so... You know, I'm tomorrow I'm going all out. So
I'll give you that.
I hope Jason Symbol, Matt Holt, and Brian Benowitz are big fans of the Christmas music.
All right.
For the hockey show, I played Too Short's Hanukkah song for Ryan because he's requested it. So
there you go.
You know, Ryan is a big fan of the Too Short Hanukkah song. Right. He says it's one of two Hanukkah songs he can listen to.
We'll ask Dr. Joseph Yu his thoughts on the music and the moratorium and when it is too early or too late to play Christmas music.
I think Christmas music can be played like in the background or in the foreground. If it's played in the background, like at a store, that's okay. Like a week ahead, I like your rule.
Okay, good.
See? But if it's in your face, sort of like in the OR, like when we play it.
Play it in the OR.
While we play music, yeah. We play music in the OR because it's so monotonous if you if you don't have music in the background. And I don't like playing Christmas music. Because it's kind of like in your face.
Right.
It's weird.
Right. Well, it's different, though. I mean, he's a surgeon. He's not going to play, you know.
Wait, shouldn't you ask
him? He's not going to play Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen while he's operating on someone's knee.
Well, maybe the patient should have a say in this, don't you think?
No, I don't, because they're usually asleep.
Yeah, they're out.
I know that. I'm trying to be funny.
Hey, listen, TC, you're getting your colonoscopy today. Oh. What song do you want to hear while you're under?
Yeah, I don't think Dr. Yu does those kind of surgeries.
No, well, you know? hopefully not.
Dr. Joseph Yu, the UNLV team doctor, of course, Total Sports Medicine. For all your injury needs, go to totalsportsmedicine.com. All right, Dr. Joe, I'm leaving it up to you today. I'm in the Christmas spirit here. What do you want to talk about today?
The only new update in terms of injury is Isaiah Thomas. So you know that he's had a hip injury for about 6 months, and he chose not to have surgery. So that was femoral acetabular impingement and arthritis. A lot of people choose to have surgery, but what a lot of people don't know is that there's some complications associated with it that can happen. And not everyone turns out well. You know, you had Alex Rodriguez who had it, and he came back, but he wasn't really the old Alex, you know.
Is there a question that Isaiah Thomas may not be the same player that we saw last year? Because didn't we think that he would be back by now?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that this might be in an on and off type thing, sort of like with Dwayne Wade, mm-hmm. where it might flare up from time to time and he might be out for a few games to rest. And basically that's what he's been doing for the last few months, is just resting it out and letting the inflammation go out of his hip.
Could this be a Derrick Rose situation where you see, hey, I'm fine, he's not fine, then he takes time off, he's in pain?
Yeah, I think so. That's something like that, where it'd be like a recurring type of a thing. I think it very well could be, because there's arthritis. You can't really do anything for arthritis. It's not a disease. It's just wear and tear. And then you just got to deal with the symptoms.
Let's cross sports real quick. NFL, Antonio Brown could be a huge loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We saw him get injured last week. He's saying no big deal. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, a calf injury, like a calf strain, partial tear is what he had. It shouldn't hold him out. I hear that'll be back in the playoffs, and those heal actually pretty reliably. So he should get back pretty close to 100%. Can I bring up something?
Yeah.
There was something in the news about LaVar Ball. He wants to start a league. 80 players, 10 teams, pay you $3,000 to 10th month to $10,000 per month to play.
Right.
Just wondering what both of you guys think about it.
Well, like you said, he's going to call it the new Junior Basketball Association, which he said is going to be fully funded by the Big Baller brand. I don't know what kind of money, because we're hearing different reports about how much money he's actually making off these shoes. It was a big story, 4 or 5 months ago, but I really haven't heard too much about it now. But yeah, you're right. 10 teams, and he wants to play in NBA arenas in L.A., Dallas, Brooklyn, Atlanta. And he says getting players will not be a problem. That is the easy part. Myself, I still think the better players, obviously, are going to go to college out of high school, because he's talking about taking these kids right out of high school. He thinks there's a market for it, and he's going to become this entrepreneur. He's had this great idea that this is going to be the true minor leagues, or just not even minor leagues, getting these guys ready to play a summer of basketball before they jump into the pros.
I like the concept of it. I just don't think he's the guy I would want running something like this. Right. I mean, basically what this is Vince McMahon in the XFL, who Vince McMahon, of course, in the news today as well. But, I mean, that's essentially what this is. I mean, LeVar Ball is essentially the Vince McMahon of basketball right now because he's a lunatic.
So when you hear about this, what are your thoughts?
I think that they're going to need to get some lottery picks to make it interesting. And for the NBA, they got to think about whether or not they're going to be a better product if they got instructed by Coach K, Bill Self, versus some other guy that might not be a top-tier coach.
Some other guy. It's going to be LeVar Ball. He actually thinks he's a great coach. Again, when he's not coaching his kids, he's ripping on the high school coaches. He's ripping on Luke Walton, for goodness sakes, right?
Yeah. And I'm also wondering if something good will come out of this. Maybe players will get paid, or maybe they'll get compensated in college, which I'm a fan of.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. So obviously you're a big college basketball fan. You're around the UNLV program. We know you like your Dukies. You heard us talk about them winning by 64 last night.
And I'm actually going out to visit.
That's right.
Going to watch them play Florida State, actually.
Wow. That's going to be December, a game right there in Cameron.
In Cameron.
And you don't have to worry about standing in line or camping out underneath a tent like all those poor students. You're going to walk in a half hour before a game and have your primo seats.
I know the trainer, so.
Yeah. Of course. Your thoughts about UNLV?
I heard you talking to Steve about it, and I think that Brandon McCoy is definitely a lottery pick, I think, or, middle first round. I don't know if we're like a two- or three-team conference, and I don't know if we can beat Nevada. That's a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that the competition committee, they still think of us, our conference, as a one-team conference.
You're around the program, obviously, team doctor. What are your thoughts about from the injury standpoint? Because it seems like, for the most part, the Rebels have been pretty much injury-free, a lot different than it has been in years past at this time.
Yeah, I think they're all doing really great. I think they're doing a good job of keeping their strength, keeping their endurance up. And, they look all really good. I think Mooring had a knee injury, but that was just kind of that was like a week ago. That was a fluke where he kind of got hit on that side. But overall, they're all doing pretty good.
But McCoy's been okay.
Yeah, he's been great, yeah.
Because I know early on the season, I know he missed the one exhibition game, but it seems like he's perfectly fine. And it's always a concern with these big guys.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in the past year before. We saw when Zimmerman was here, he missed a lot of time.
Right.
But it seems like if McCoy can stay healthy, UNLV probably can be a force in the Mountain West, and Steve Lapis seems to think that this is going to be a better Mountain West product. I'm not sure. I mean, I look at Nevada. I look at Boise State for being good. I look at UNLV. He mentioned Fresno State. So we'll see. I'm very interested to see what San Diego State looks like tonight when they actually play Gonzaga, because the game is in San Diego. It's on their home floor.
Okay.
So they should show up tonight. But I'm just, I'm still very, very leery about San Diego State.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens here. All right. So give us the holiday plans.
Holiday plans.
Yeah.
Going to Disney World.
Is
actually.
That YouTube sensation kid of yours? Has he put out a Christmas album yet?
Hasn't yet. I'm trying to.
Quentin's Christmas.
Trying to get him motivated to do something like that. Yeah.
Now Magnum, I don't know if you've heard a little cue. I mean, he's got like a million hits, million views on his YouTube channel. This kid is, 5 years old?
What does he do?
Oh, what does he do? He does everything.
Well, no. I mean, he's got to have a specialty, though.
He does a little. His specialty is singing and just being a little bit of a clown.
So he's going to be on The Voice.
Well, could be.
No.
He's already done, every Disney cover that you could see. And it's not just singing. This guy's got a full production. I don't know if Steven Spielberg is behind some of these productions. It's amazing.
That sounds really cool, though. My kid's a big YouTube fan. I don't understand half of it, but
tell him and our listeners where they can check out your son.
Quinn TV, so it's QUIN TV.
There it is, Quinn TV. He's already on it right now.
Check it out. I will show it to my son this weekend.
He has over 10 million views, actually.
10 million. You kidding? Dr. Joe, thank you very much for coming in. Have yourself a great Christmas, great holiday. We'll get you back next week, hopefully. And I want to hear about this Duke's. This Duke trip coming up, too.
I'm excited.
All right, TotalSportsMedicine.com for all of your injury needs. That's where you need to go. See our good friend, Dr. Joseph Few, at TotalSportsMedicine.com. I want to thank Dr. Joe for coming in today. Of course, Steve Lapis as well from CBS Sports, a former Villanova and UMass coach. Even thank Chris Chapman a little bit. Hopefully you'll have some better headphones tomorrow. Tomorrow we're at the Cosmopolitan. Come on out and join us. 3 o'clock for that. Our best bet segment and a whole lot more coming your way. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go. TCMartinShow.com.